Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There's good news today about Massachusetts and the so-called clean energy economy. It's growing. And according to a new national scorecard released today, Massachusetts is the country's most energy-efficient state.
That's according to the Washington, D.C.-based American Council for Energy Efficient Economy, which says the Bay State jumped to the top, overtaking California in its annual rankings. The scorecard measures a variety of things, including investments in and policies that promote energy efficiency in homes, businesses, and transportation.
In just a moment, we'll be asking you how clean energy and green living is filtering down to the local level where you live.
But first, joining us from Washington is Richard Sullivan, the state Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs. He's down there with Governor Patrick because of this recognition. And Secretary Sullivan, good to have you.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on. I do apologize if there's noise in the background. I'm at the airport catching a flight, but it was great this morning.
Yes, let me just jump right in and ask you a question, Mr. Secretary. Among other things, this report that ranks Massachusetts as the most energy-efficient state recognized the state's Green Communities Act, which was created in 2008. Remind us what that Green Communities Act is.
Well, it really is the opportunity for to think green and encourage them to deploy energy efficiencies, as well as needed to look at all energy efficiencies first, to be aggressive in their energy efficiency deployment, and really energy efficiency as the first fuel in Massachusetts. So,
Mr. Sullivan, I think we are having trouble with your connection, so we're going to have to say goodbye. We're losing you on the cell phone. It keeps fading in and out. But that was Richard Sullivan, Massachusetts Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs, speaking to us from Washington. He's about to catch a flight home. Sorry about that technical issue, but that happens from time to time in live radio. So we'll just carry on with our focus today, which is clean energy and green living, and we want to know how it's filtering down to the local level where you live. What do you see in your community? What efforts are you making in your own home to be energy efficient? How about your local city or town? We're going green today on Radio Boston, so give us a call and join the conversation. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And joining us in the studio is Barbara Cates Garnick. She's Undersecretary of Energy for Massachusetts and one of the state's top minds when it comes to implementing clean energy policies. And Barbara, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
I'm delighted to be here.
Also with us, Michael Grays. He's the co-founder and chair of the Green Needham Collaborative. That's a community-based group in Needham that promotes clean energy and clean environment. He also serves on the Needham School Committee. And welcome to Radio Boston, Michael. Good to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Barbara, let me pick up where I was talking with Secretary Sullivan. We had a bad connection there. First, let's just start right off with this Green Communities Act, which this national ranking seemed to recognize as being key to what Massachusetts is doing.
Right. Well, the Green Communities is really the state's investment in communities who really want to be green. And being green is a multi-pronged effort. It includes energy efficiency, as the Secretary said. It includes renewables. It includes stretching to make sure that you are the most energy efficient you can be. It involves grants. It involves help from the state. It really pushes on the local level the ability of a community that says, I want to be green.
And when we're talking about examples of where this is happening, you know, I heard about a slide. This is radio, so it's not going to work. But I heard about a slide that you guys have that sort of shows yellow dots all over the country, all over the state, where these kind of great initiatives, whether it's solar or conservation, these big kind of initiatives are sort of popping up all over the place. What do you point to that shows we're going in the right direction?
Well, I think we have several indices. In addition to this national recognition where the governor and the secretary received a very important recognition today. We see this in all sorts of ways. We see this in communities that choose to invest in renewable. We see this in cities and towns that want to go green in their own facilities. So all of the dots that you saw on the slide were example of renewables, cities that have made a commitment on a local level. And before I say anything, energy is a local initiative. And that is really the important way to look at it.
Local, I mean, how local? Even more local than the state. You mean at the local community, town, even the individual household?
Exactly. Really, you commit at that level, and really our role at the state is to make it possible.
And what's the opportunity here? That is, if we don't sort of push this farther. I mean, it's nice to get this recognition, but obviously there's a lot more work to do. What's at stake in terms of opportunity lost?
Well, as the governor will tell you, it's jobs, jobs, jobs. And the other good news that we had this week is that the Clean Energy Center, the Mass CEC, found that in this state we have 64,310 clean energy workers, that is, people who are associated with being green, and 4,900 clean energy firms, almost 5,000. So the bottom line is really jobs and keeping money in state and not exporting it out of the Commonwealth.
So let's bring this down to the local level. Michael Graves, let me bring this conversation over to you. Give us a sense of what Green Needham is trying to accomplish, what it is accomplishing.
Well, we started about 5 years ago in recognizing the way you get things done in a community is you bring people together. So it's residences, businesses, it's the municipality, it's the schools, it's the kids, it's the teachers. And we identified ways that we could try to affect the social norms, because one of the most powerful things you can do in behavioral change and changing people's behavior is to affect the norms around you. We have one of the highest recycling rates in the state, and so when people come to Needham, they sort of expect to recycle. And we're working on getting people to the point where they think the same way about energy efficiency and where they think the same way about having energy assessments done in their homes. We did an online 10% challenge, a little checklist so people could see the things that they could do. We generated a lot of buzz and a lot of interest from people working through the schools, working through the community, so that people see it as something that is part of their lives. And you have to focus on the things that mean something to them, which can be dollars, can be comfort for some people. It's the appeal of doing the right thing, but you have to focus on what's important to them.
I gather that changing the norms, that one of the challenges there might be that a lot of folks sort of think that making these changes, that retrofitting their house or maybe even changing a refrigerator, it costs money up front. These are tough economic times. Do you run into that, Michael?
We absolutely do. Yeah. And there are very real economic challenges, the challenge of not wanting to spend money, not necessarily seeing a return on investment. And there is the psychological challenge. I mean, people are perfectly willing to go and say, this is the return I expect when I invest in stocks or in a bond, but it's harder for them to see, this is the return when I spend $2,000 to make my home more energy efficient. We've tried to focus on the fact that when you spend that money up front, that's going to people in the local community, builders, architects, designers. The money that you were going to spend, that you're saving, would have gone out of state and out of the country.
Barbara, let me come to you. You're nodding your head vigorously here.
Yes. I have a great number. For an investment or for costs of $2.2 billion, you reap $6 billion in total savings. So from an investment point of view, I think those numbers are very, very strong. Mm.
But how do you bring that down to the local level? Because again, if you're talking, I mean, no one is at the local level is thinking about $2 billion or $4 billion. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about a $260 refrigerator that may save you money over years. Mm-hmm. But how do you incentivize, I guess what I'm saying is the consumers to really think in this way, changing the norms in the way that Michael is talking about?
Well, I think this notion of incenting the consumer is really the critical point. You will see savings on your energy bill. You need to then take steps and make an investment in your house to make that house even more energy efficient. So I really look at this as an investment policy, that a person makes a decision today and they reap the benefits over time in addition to the comfort and the better living that they get from energy efficiency. And my concept is, if we had made the right decisions 25 years ago, can you imagine where we would be as a state today? But that is why what the governor is doing is, with the help of the legislature, is really focusing us in this right direction now.
Let me ask you both this. Michael, I'll start with you. When it comes to energy conservation, energy savings, what are some of the three or four basics that things that, that most people can do or can think about that they might not be doing?
One thing I like to remind people of is that there's two different concepts, energy efficiency and energy conservation. Energy efficiency means getting the same results but using less energy. So putting, you know, getting a more efficient car, getting a more efficient boiler. Energy conservation says, I'm going to use less. I'm going to turn my thermostat down. And we made some mistakes in this country 30, 40 years ago because we said you got to use less. And you may have to, but we want people to see that there is money to be saved in that. The things we look at are refrigerators are absolutely one of the biggest energy users in the home. The so-called phantom power, the devices that sit on your cable box uses a phenomenal amount. The game consoles, kids think they turn, you know, they put them into standby. They use a lot of energy. So,
and this will really make a difference, a noticeable difference in the course of a year of bills, for example.
It absolutely will, as do the, most people have gotten CFLs at this point. And that actually was great because people saw it right away. I mean, you could talk to people who said, I changed my lights and I saw my electric bill go down 5 to 10%. So once they see that it works, because energy is hard. It would be like going into the supermarket and not seeing any prices anywhere. Mm-hmm. And the only bill you get is at the end. How would you save money? You don't know what you're using.
Well, that's a great question for you, Barbara. I mean, talk about, for example, the cable box that stays on all the time in my house. I'm sure that's drawing money, but why won't the cable company give me a box that shuts off automatically, for example?
Well, I think that's where government can play a role. I think that we have to go to the cable companies and let them know that this is a very important thing for us to do. We can set up regulations. We can do all sorts of things. So the notion that you can't impose savings and that it really is a cooperative effort with the marketplace to get this to happen. But I think this notion that Michael said of education, teaching our kids to turn off that computer, that they don't need to have the box on at all times, is something that needs to happen.
Listeners, we're talking about how going green, clean energy, green living filters down to the local level. We want to know what you're experiencing at your level, what you're seeing in your community, what you're doing in your own home. You can give us a call, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Let's take a couple of calls. Jody is calling from Somerville. Hi, Jody.
Hi. I called in because I just had a recently had my house energy audit done, and I have a two-family, and they're actually putting solar panels in my house, which will cover all my electricity and my hot water.
That's fantastic. Now, Jody, can you give us a sense of what that's going to cost, adding a solar energy panel to your house?
It'll bring up the value of my home tremendously. Actually, it is no cost to me. It's a grant program that they've had that NSTAR and National Grid is using right now, and it's called Next Step Living. And they're going to put all these for the next, but I signed a contract for 20 years, which my electricity will not go up or down. It will stay completely the same, and I will have a completely energy-efficient home.
Jody, it's a great call, and we really appreciate it. Barbara, she mentioned a couple of things there that I heard her say. Energy assessment, right? Every power consumer in the country, every utility consumer in the Commonwealth can get one of those, right?
Absolutely. The utilities in Massachusetts are required to do energy audits. We have a neutral organization called MassSave, which is really the conduit for this. So it makes it easy for the consumer to take that next step. And I would like to say, here's a great example of how we can add value to the Commonwealth, because Next Step Living is a new company. The governor and the secretary were there this week. They are hiring people to go out and do just those types of things that Jody was talking about. So there's a wonderful synergy here. Jobs, and also energy savings.
Michael, you're nodding your head.
Two things. One, you notice that Jody used the word audit and you used the word assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And language means a lot. Consciously changing the word to assessment. Audit is not something we associate with a pleasant experience. And so
keep those auditors away from my house.
Exactly what we're doing.
Right, yeah.
We're working with NSTAR. We have a pilot. We're one of 8 or 9 pilot communities working closely with NSTAR and MassSave to get more people to do these assessments and then to do the follow-up, kind of things that Jody did. And the program now allows the companies like Next Step Living to talk about solar. That's a new thing this year. They were very limited in what they could say, and that's a big help.
And can you flesh out the program that Jody was talking about? So this is a program where, as far as we can understand, can you just explain it? Do you know the actual program that she's referring to?
I absolutely
do. Please explain it, because it sounds fascinating.
In essence, you know, the cost of putting solar panels, it can be high. So
right.
If you don't want to put that money in, what you're essentially doing is renting your roof. And there are still, you know, significant incentives that we have in place in Massachusetts that reduce the cost. And that allows businesses like Next Step Living and their partners that work with them to basically rent a lease your roof. They own and maintain the panel for 20 years. They get the benefits of the tax incentives, and they just guarantee you a fixed price electricity contract. So you know what your electricity will be for 20 years, and there's no cost of entry. You basically just have savings. So it's a great model to overcome some of those barriers.
It sounds like a great deal.
And through the Clean Energy Center in Massachusetts, we are also offering grants to people and to companies to start to make these kind of investments.
Let's take a couple more calls. Teresa is calling from West Roxbury. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I just wanted to put in a plug for local consignment shops. It's a great way to not only be green and recycle your clothing, but also to save money and look great.
Great, Teresa. Thanks for that. Thanks for that suggestion. Local consignment shops, nice way to build community and pass on what's not needed to someone who does need it. Right. All right. Let's take another call. Obi is calling from Brockton. Hey, Obi.
How you doing?
Very well.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention a few things that, you know, ways we can cut down our electricity use. The way we cut down our electricity use, is the same way we can when we look at our bills. When National Grid sends us a bill, we take the time to look at it. They give us tips. They also give out what your neighborhood usage is. You know, they give out that information and what you're using, what your usage is in the house. So it's a great way you can compare to your neighbors as to why their electricity is so low. That means their bill must be low as well. You know, so if people start paying attention to those kind of information on bills, you would see a lot of change when it comes to building. That's for saving money.
Obi, I think you bring up a great point, and I want to turn this to Barbara Cates-Garnick. Barbara, I mean, one of the things that I don't think is clear, in spite of what Obi was saying, is that I don't get a clear idea from my bill when it costs the power, when more energy is being used, is what I'm saying. And so shouldn't we be aware of that as a way to, I guess the term is price point, right?
Right. If we were living in the best of all worlds, we would actually get price signals.
That's what I meant to say.
Right. And what we would see in the times that we're using a lot of energy, the price would go up. And at the time that we're using less, the price would go down. A lot of times getting that information requires technology. Hmm. Putting technology in the house, especially smart meters. So as we move along, and the utilities are doing pilots on putting the meters in and seeing how people behave. So we're getting data at this point in time. The problem is we don't have the true price signal, and that's something that we need to work on. But communication and information are really the way to go.
And what's the how do you get the true price signal? Is that something that the utilities have to be compelled to provide that?
Well, you get the true price signal. You could get it on your bill. It would be very complicated. So at this point in time, more important for us is to see the usage and the price associated at the time of day with that usage. Mm. But the other point was this notion of competition. And I think really in the comment of building community and cooperation, if your neighbor is using less, if your neighborhood is using less, I think it builds community, and also I want to be there as a leader.
I think that's a great point. Let's take one more call. I think we've got time for that. Ross is calling from Somerville. Hi, Ross.
Hi. I am calling. I think it's a great discussion to have, and there's been a lot of focus about the money-saving benefits of these local green economies. I'm wondering, sort of assuming that behind this is a goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions and benefiting the environment in various ways, and I'm wondering if the panel could sort of discuss how these local initiatives focus on food in particular, which the factory farming and big agribusiness is a huge contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. I'm wondering.
Sure, Ross. Okay, we got it. Let's let me throw that question out to Michael or Barbara. Either one of you want to take this on?
I will, because we're doing a local energy and environment summit on Monday, and the purpose of this is to bring together people to hear about this plan and then to talk in groups about different areas of energy and environment. So we have a group for food, a group for water, a group for energy efficiency, a group for energy sources and choices, transportation, and the built environment. We want people to see the interdependence and then start asking questions like, would we like more local food in Needham? And that's something that we are doing. What does that mean? What does that mean for our zoning? What does that mean for our transportation patterns? Can we partner with other towns to do that? And these things are all interconnected, and that's one of the challenges. Water is a big user of energy. You know, when you get water and use it, there's a lot of energy involved in that. And it takes a lot of water to produce energy in power plants. When people start to see those connections, they can realize that what they're doing is going to have an impact.
Mm, Barbara.
And also, under Governor Patrick, we combined energy and the environment. And I think that everybody sees this nexus in creating a sustainable community and environment for Massachusetts. So this is what we're trying to do within the Secretariat.
Let me, you know, it occurs to me this ranking that came out of Washington today that put Massachusetts on top of this list as the most energy efficient state. It occurs to me one of the takeaways from the report, which I had a chance to peruse, is that with no energy bill coming out of Washington right now, out of Congress, the innovation, all this stuff is really coming from the states, mm-hmm. isn't it? I mean, this is really where it's happening.
That is so true. And that's why this is a wonderful opportunity for us to be a leader in the energy revolution. And the other thing is Massachusetts is particularly well positioned for this, given the innovation, given the universities, given the technology, given our education, all very important themes under the governor to make this really happen. So this is really a very exciting point to be at the state energy office.
Now, the Patrick administration, of course, very involved with policies that provide incentives and really push these policies. Is this a good business for the state to be in? And I ask the question because it doesn't always work out. A case in point, the state's effort to provide tax incentives to a company like Evergreen Solar, for example. There's been a lot of talk about that. I don't want to get back into that debate, but I just want to raise this basic question. Is this the business that the state government should be in?
Well, what we are really doing in the state government is to provide the framework for people to make the right energy decisions, both in the short term and in the long term. So that's really where our investment is, mm-hmm. rather than in a particular company.
Yeah. All right. Michael Grays, last question to you. You know, as we sort of look forward to this effort to, you know, build green consciousness at the local level, what's the takeaway you want to leave with people?
That they can actually make a difference, and they can make a difference in a way that affects their lives in a positive way today and going forward, because you know, it's going to affect what they do, and that's why we're stressing looking at what the next 5-10 years will be like in their community. They're going to make those decisions, and if they don't, somebody will make it for them. So we want people to say, take charge of it. You have the opportunity, and there's some great incentives to do so.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. Michael Grays, he's chairman of the Green Needham Collaborative. Michael, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
And let me mention, you mentioned that on Monday evening at Olin College, there's going to be an environmental forum of sorts where this conversation is very much going to continue. You're going to be there.
That's right.
I'm going to be emceeing that event, so we want to encourage listeners to come out to that. Barbara Cates Garnick, Energy Undersecretary for the State of Massachusetts, thank you very much for coming in as well. We appreciate it. And thanks to Secretary Richard Sullivan, and we're sorry that we lost him at the top of the segment, but we wish him a safe flight back to Boston. Stay with us up next. From YouTube sensation to bona fide recording artist, we chat with pop duo Carmen. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.